Live from Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company here on this Thursday, Circa Las Vegas.
Inside in the AC.
Although I love the hot weather and stadium swim on Thursdays, but inside I got a radio row going for the ultimate contest weekend here at Circa, all part of the big contest, Circa Million and Circa Survivor. Vanessa's helping out here back in the Finley Toyota Studios. It is Griffin, bunch to get to. Got to get to, believe it or not, a little boxing news coming out, which we almost never do, but I don't think this is going to be very complimentary of the sport. And then do we need to set up a fight between Dylan Gabriel and Shadur Sanders? Griffin sent me a story 5 minutes ago. I don't think it's real, but I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to double check, but I don't think it's real. So that's a tease for about 5 minutes from now. Dylan Gabriel and Shadur Sanders, and it's more on the side of Shadur Sanders, but rest assured, in this whole mix between these guys, since you know, I'll give him credit. Colin Cowherd has dubbed Shadur Sanders the celebrity quarterback and is kind of on this path of this is why you don't want a celebrity quarterback. Shadur acting like a celebrity, stirring the pot instead of calming things down, throwing gas all over the fire. So, all right, Griffin, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Steve? How's it down there at Circa Resort?
It's actually quiet. A lot of the shows were actually earlier today. And I think they have a dinner set up for, there's probably about, 25 outlets down here, so they got some kind of dinner coming up. We'll be on the air. We always miss the dinners, Griffin. You can come down and have dinner. I got to run over to the Dan Mullen radio show, which is coming up a little later than normal, as we'll have Mullen on his coach's show every week at 7 o'clock. So Dan Mullen kicks things off tonight over at Parkway Tavern. That is at 7 o'clock. But I got to get your thoughts right out of the gates here on boxing. We got the mega fight with Canelo and Crawford on September 13th, and everyone now listening knows that that date was going to be a UNLV game at Allegiant. UNLV was nice enough, and I'm sure they got a little compensation from Turki Alashik or the boxing promoters or Dana White or whoever pays the money for something like this. They agreed to move off of that date. They also realized, as Eric Harper told me, the AD, that doing good things for Vegas is going to be paid back tenfold down the road. We want all of us want all of Vegas to do well, so UNLV is definitely part of the community, and LVCVA is part of that mix. So if you can do something nice for LVCVA, you move off the date. So we got Canelo and Crawford coming up, which is awesome, and they're going to do it at Allegiant Stadium, and it's Turki Alashik's money that put this thing together. He may be able to put together, who knows, 5, 6, 10, 15 mega fights over the next 5 years, 10 years, which is a great thing because it bridges a gap in an area where it's been really difficult for boxing the last 25 years to solve the quandary of the promoters screwing everything up, right? And the boxers a lot of times don't want to fight. They you know, and I don't blame them if it's about money, okay. But a lot of times you can't get promoters together to make big fights. So we're currently in a situation where Tank Davis down at 135, 140 area and Shakur Stevenson probably should be meeting up. And we talked about it earlier in the week. Like, even if Tank had a tune-up fight, a money fight, a pub fight to further build his brand against, like, Pacquiao, that wouldn't be the worst thing. I don't think it's going to be a super competitive fight, but at least Pac-Man is a legit boxer, even at 46 years old. He's one of the all-time greats in that range. And, damn, I think I have to look it up. I can't remember everything now about every weight class, but I believe Pac-Man started at as low as, I think he might have been as low as 118 and then was fighting, I don't know if he had a 154 fight. I know he fought Antonio Margarito. It might have been a 154. It might have been. But anyway, at least he's legit. He's a little bigger than Tank Davis. Tank Davis, I think, walks around at 155 or 160, maybe bigger if he gets out of shape. But instead of doing those two fights, now it's been announced that Jake Paul and Tank Davis may fight. I mean, it's done for now, although I think with Jake Paul fights, a lot of it is game playing. But that is going to go down in Atlanta on November 14th. That would be about a year since Paul fought Mike Tyson, which was a horrendous fight, a horrendous the promotion was good, but the fight was just disgusting. And, you know, as we have said, I think a lot of Jake Paul fights are incentivized for the other side to go, you know what, I'll fight, but I'm not going to fight, you know, 100%. I don't know if Tyson fought 100% that night. I don't know if it was just old age, but he looked terrible, and neither guy did anything, you know, even with, what was it, a freaking 27-year age advantage. Jake Paul really never let his hands go. Maybe he was trying to take it easy on the old guy, but it turned out to be just a garbage fight. And now, instead of Tank Davis fighting someone else in their prime, or even a guy past his prime, but at least in that weight area, legit boxer, they're going to do it. And this is the worst part. It's an exhibition boxing match. Griffin, what's the point?
Honestly, there is no point. It's ridiculous. Jake Paul, before this news broke, Steve, he was in conversations. There were rumors of him possibly having a boxing match against Anthony Joshua, heavyweight.
Did you ever believe that was going to happen? Because I never believed that was going to happen. I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think Jake Paul is suicidal enough to, even if he's bloated and built up and he could be on whatever he wants to be on, the most he's going to weigh is probably 225 or 30 pounds. I forget what he weighed in for the Tyson fight, but he's not a heavyweight. He is a cruiserweight. He should be fighting around 190 to 200 pounds. And Anthony Joshua ain't some, you know, fat load heavyweight. You're talking about a 6'5", 260 dude, and while his chin ain't granite, I think it's strong enough to withstand a cruiserweight who can barely box in Jake Paul. So I never believed that was going to happen. I think that was just the kind of hype that he does between fights. But now the alternative is at whatever he's walking around at now, 225, 220, 215, looking down to a guy who fights at 135, 140, and going, let's do an exhibition. By the way, Jake Paul is probably about 6'1", 6'1 and a half. Is Tank Davis 5'5"? And how stupid is this going to look in the ring? Not only the weight difference, which will probably be, even if Tank wanted to come in kind of, you know, not cutting weight and a little blubbery, what's he going to weigh, 165 at the most, 160 against 215? You're going to have 6'1 against 5'5"?
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. And it's like, and the only reason I somewhat thought it could be a possibility that he fought Anthony Joshua was just because he would, you know, he had just gotten done with Mike Tyson, and it's kind of like the circus show with Jake Paul's fight. So you never know what he's going to lock down. And then Anthony Joshua, he already knocked out Francis Ngannou. So I thought there was a path there. But then out of nowhere, now he's about to fight Tank, and Tank, as you know, Tank's career has been a little weird, flirting with retirement, and
he doesn't want to fight, and he's getting arrested every 6 months.
Exactly,
that makes it weird.
Yes, and so now he's going in there with Paul, and I'm wondering is, what are the promoters, what are the heads of boxing thinking about this? Right,
there are
now?
No heads of boxing. That's the problem.
The people who like to think themselves as heads
there's
of
no
boxing.
There's no organizations, because you have all these weight classes. Turkey Al-Sheikh has kind of officially taken over as a matchmaker with the most money. But that's why stuff like this can happen, because there is no organization. Now, that said, I don't know how this happens. And if this is real, to me, this is really stupid. And, again, you're just fanning the flames of fame when you do this. Dylan Gabriel got in some hot water because he answered a question. It was taken out of context, and he talked about entertainers as compared to competitors. And people ran with that because it was clipped so short that people thought he was talking about Shadur Sanders, referencing the entertainer, and that Dylan Gabriel speaking was the competitor. Gabriel went on to explain, that's not what I said. I said, you guys asking me the questions are the entertainers. I'm in a different field. I'm a competitor. I thought it was done. But you know what? Media smart for asking it, because if Shadur Sanders is going to take the bait or wants to throw gas on the fire, go ahead and do it. So Shadur Sanders is quoted today as saying, Dylan told me on the plane, nah, that wasn't at you. The entertainer's competitor comment wasn't at you. Follow-up question. Oh, no, he didn't. It wasn't a question. He actually said, did I believe him? I don't know. And then he follows it up by saying, that's not going to change my life in any way. We're going to react to this at different parts of the show. That is childish. I don't know what that accomplishes. That is silly, and this is part of the problem that people have with Shadur Sanders. Every once in a while, he does it intentionally or has a brain fart where you're like, bro, are you part of this team or not? Is it about legendary or whatever you call your brand, or is it about the team? So we may have another you know, mini situation developing here with Dylan Gabriel, but more importantly with Shedeur Sanders. Just freaking, I said it last week, I don't, it's not the right way to say it, but I'm going to say it again. Open the fire hose and spray gas all over the place.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Las Vegas on this Thursday here for Ultimate Contest Weekend. Remember, too, the great contest in the state of Nevada, Circa Million, $6 million in guaranteed prizes, Circa Survivor, $15 million. And guarantee prizes, $1,000 entry on both of them. The Circa Million, five games against the spread every week, so you get an entire season. Cofield and Company did not do well in that one last year. We're in it again, but we need to do a lot better. And Circa Survivor, all you got to do is pick a winner straight up each week. But if you don't, you're out. And you can only use that team once in the season, so there's a lot of strategery in that whole thing. You go 20-0, and you can be the winner, or be the last person standing. So that one has $15 million guaranteed to the winner, $6 million in guaranteed prizes in Circa Million, $21 million combined. Got to sign up at a Circa Las Vegas sportsbook in the state of Nevada. Sign up until September 6th at 2 o'clock. Don't show up at 1:45 because that'll be death. You don't want to do that. So thanks to Circa for having us out here. Oh, we got Raiders and Cardinals going at it. Raiders on the road in this one. It's a Saturday tilt. Raiders slight favorite again. And we wanted to get the Cardinals side of things. And an old buddy, Craig Riolu, is doing work down around the Cardinals. He's the broadcast and digital content coordinator for the Cardinals and does a show on ESPN 620. And Riolu's up with Cofield. What's up, Craig?
How are you, sir? Long time no talk.
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to see you're doing well and covering stuff for the Cardinals. Cardinals are always kind of one of the teams I like to watch and pay attention to because I am an absolute Kyler Murray stan, and I'm sure covering him must be freaking awesome. It might be a little up and down, but he's fun to watch.
He can make the impossible plays almost seem routine. And we've seen that time in and time again. For Raiders fans, there was that two-point conversion a couple of years ago in which he backpedaled and moved around for 20-plus seconds before scoring. It's those type of plays. But, yes, the up-and-down nature for him now going into year seven, it's consistency. Each week, and don't have to be Superman each and every week. And I think that's what's happened now with year three with this regime and coaching staff. They have surrounded him with more talent on offense and certainly have upgraded the defense to where he can just be himself and not feel like the weight of the team and the organization is on his shoulders.
Craig, give me the takeaways, the main takeaways from basically 5-6 days spent around the Broncos with the game, but also the joint practice. What were the big takeaways for you guys?
Huge work done and a very productive day Thursday in Denver as far as the joint practice was concerned. And I think that's why we saw no starters and a handful of key reserves not play in the preseason game on Saturday. So, like most coaches around the league, Jonathan Gannon values these joint practices, I think, just a little bit more than a preseason game. It's a controlled environment. You get with the opposing head coach and say, this is what we want to work on. Show us this look. Show us that look, vice versa. But the game itself was, and we can be all honest with ourselves, a tough watch. So hopefully those players that were on the field Saturday night, you're going to see them again on Saturday, this coming Saturday against the Raiders. Gannon said earlier on Thursday that as far as playing time, expect a similar setup as was last week. So no Kyler Murray, no first-team offense, no first-team defense, a handful of key reserves will be sitting this one out. But the players that will be playing are playing for roster spots, whether the back end of the 53 or maybe even on the practice squad.
Talking Cardinals with Craig Riolu, Craig, AZ Sports, up on Twitter. What's the latest with the O-line? Because reading it's a little beat up right now.
The depth is probably a little bit of a concern. They did bring back Will Hernandez, but he's on the PUP list and trying to get into playing shape. But if you can keep those five guys, Paris Johnson, Brown, Yoda Froholt, Isaiah Adams, who I think has really been the star so far as a question mark, maybe going into the offseason at right guard, but coming out of training camp, really solidifying his position. And then right tackle Jonah Williams coming off a knee injury, two knee injuries last season, has looked healthy. So knock on wood, those five stay healthy. Then you got Kelvin Beachum as your swing tackle, and then maybe some guys on the back end could make some noise coming up on Saturday. There's an undrafted rookie free agent out of Ohio State tackle, Josh Fryer, who is really impressed and has a good shot at making the roster.
Will Hernandez is a Vegas guy. He went to Chaparral High School. Actually had a chance, to catch up with him, you know, as he was on the comeback. He was at the Super Bowl. He was talking about opening up some taco trucks, which I thought was really cool. He's starting to get into the business world. Have you had a chance to talk to him, and you know, what's your impression of Will as he kind of is at that midpoint of an NFL career where he can take off here and maybe play another 5 or 6 years, but if things don't work out injury-wise, he may not be in the league for much longer?
I think if he had not gotten hurt last year in Week 5 against San Francisco, there's no question in my mind that he would have been brought back, maybe even re-signed to a 2 or 3 year contract extension. The injury was very unfortunate as far as the timing was concerned, because he is, if you're looking for that big, physical, nasty offensive lineman who you can run behind, it's Will Hernandez. Now, he is completely healthy as far as the knee is concerned, medically cleared, but is he ready where he needs to be football-wise? And I think that's why, one, you sign him because he's cleared, put him on PUP so he can get into playing shape. How long does that take? Who knows? But when we had a chance to speak with him, Steve, he sounded very confident, not only in the knee, but confident in his own ability, and put the onus on himself that if he is back and given an opportunity, there's no question that he will be playing this season and not in a reserve role, but at some point find his way into the starting lineup.
Talking Cardinals and Raiders coming up on Saturday. Craig Grealoux is with us, a fellow Sports Fan Radio Network alum. I'll say the second biggest star to come out of Sports Fan Radio Network next to our own JT the Brick. JT the Brick is the biggest star. And JT may tell you that himself. JT is the biggest star to come out. I think I'm very much at the bottom of the totem pole. But, okay, I got to get, like I said, I'm a Kyler Murray stan, so I'm really curious to see what he can do in the air. I saw you guys pose the question up on Twitter about Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. How dynamic can this be this year?
I think it'd be very dynamic. Now, I don't know if Marvin's going to get more targets than he did last season, but that catch percentage, which was at 53% last season, that's got to jump up to the high 60s, maybe low 70s. Is it going to reach Trey McBride status? Probably not, but it is something that has been the focal point all off season long, an emphasis as far as getting Marvin the football, and not just as an X receiver, but moving him around, putting him in the slot, sending him in motion, and throwing him open so he can catch the ball on the run and take that 8, 9, 10-yard catch and extend it to 15, 16, 17 yards. And that goes for every wide receiver. They really want to add to the explosive pass game, because those 10, 11, 12-play drives, the more plays, the more mistakes. If you can get some chunk throws in there along with a solid ground game, then this offense becomes a lot more efficient, puts up more points, and ultimately wins on Sunday.
I've seen a lot of attention paid to Jacoby Brissett, and maybe that's what happens with backup quarterbacks in the preseason. Am I reading this wrong, that he's getting a lot of attention? Was there a worry about him being suitable to be behind Kyler Murray? Is there actually a little bit of a worry, with the future of Kyler himself?
I think that's fair, the latter part. Obviously, the most popular player amongst the fan base is always the backup quarterback. And I think there is a segment of the fan base that would love to see Jacoby on the field. I'll say this, he has been the most successful quarterback that people have seen in preseason games, 3 passing touchdowns in his 5 series of work. He's just very poised, puts the ball where it needs to go, calm in the pocket, but make no mistake about it. I mean, Kyler is your starting quarterback this season, and then there's a lot of pressure. And I think everyone knows it, Kyler himself, you got to produce this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, then you can add that conversation at the end of the regular season, into the offseason, as far as where this team moves with the quarterback position. But that's looking ahead, and from the top bottom, as far as GM, head coach, and players, it's all about this season and making that jump from 8 wins last year to playing meaningful football in December and January, and hopefully get into the postseason.
From listening to Jonathan Gannon over the last couple of years, do you sense that he's got some unease with Kyler Murray? Could he be available down the road? I'll just tell you, one of my favorite things to talk about in Raiderland here in Vegas is Vegas needs a franchise quarterback. I think Kyler Murray would be a perfect guy for the Raiders, but he has to be available. One, he's only 28 years old. Two, this is going to sound crazy for the audience, but he only makes $46 million a year, and he is controlled for a couple more years. Like, I think he would be fantastic. I think there would be a market for him if the Cardinals don't want him.
Kyler's not available. I mean, certainly you can have that conversation in the offseason, but nothing's going to happen. Sorry, Steve, nothing's going to happen this season.
I know not this season.
The front office and coaching staff, they are 100% committed behind their franchise quarterback in Kyler. And again, they've given him every resource needed. And from day one, they made it clear that he was their guy and they were going to ride or die with him. So hate to burst your bubble on that for 2025. But K1's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be for this year because they committed to Geno Smith to the tune of like $80 million guaranteed, so it'd be for down the road. I saw you had a note up on Twitter, and again, we're talking to Craig Grealoux, who covers the Cardinals, Craig AZ Sports, up on Twitter. I saw you had a note, what the national media is saying about the team. What is the national media saying about the Cardinals?
I think the national media thinks that the Cardinals right now are a little bit of not talked a lot about, which is fair, but they have seen the improvement. And now going into year three, the upgrades defensively can certainly uplift this team because I think last season the defense overachieved but didn't have abundance of talent. They've added talent this season. So now you add the defense to an offense that you're basically running it back, but year three coming up and you can stop thinking and just going out there and playing. So there is a segment of the national media, Dan Orlovsky out there and Ian Rappaport, that believe the Cardinals can contend in a division that I think you can make a case for any team to win it, and you can make a case for any team to finish fourth. It's that balance, and health obviously plays a large factor in that, but I do think it's going to be a very competitive NFC West.
Win totals 8.5 here in Vegas. It actually has a lean on the over at -130. You can bet wins in the NFC West at over 2.5. That's -130. I think there's some value on division odds. You tell me about the rest of the division, what you think. Niners are the favorite at +160. I think their win total is 10.5. I don't know that they're going to get there. Rams are +175. Arizona's +425. Seattle +575. What do you think about the teams that are listed in front of the Cardinals in the West?
I think Rams fans are probably feeling a little bit better about themselves, considering Matthew Stafford is back on the practice field. But anytime you talk about a back issue and a veteran quarterback, it's something to pay attention to. They're a team that has a young, formidable defensive front that has always given the Cardinals problems. Mike McDonald in year two in Seattle with a brand new quarterback. And there's a little bit of an unknown there, but they were very good, finished with 10 wins, but didn't make the postseason. I think the 49ers right now, they lost a lot, but they still have Christian McCaffrey. Is he healthy? Can he stay healthy? George Kittle is still very, very good. Trent Williams is still one of the best tackles in the game. So I think it's going to come down to who stays the healthiest. And, yeah, schedule might play a large part into that. I know the 49ers don't have at least on paper, one of the easier schedules, if not the easiest schedule, if I can remember. And then the Cardinals open up in New Orleans, then host the Carolina Panthers. If they can get off to a hot start and maybe bank some wins in September and October, then you could potentially, you know, afford a loss or two later in the season.
By the way, my smart alecky comments earlier about Sports Fan Radio Network, we all know the answer to the biggest success out of SFRN. It's actually Zach Zaidman, who is the voice of the Cubs. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad if you can do it. But I'll say this. It's been a little while since I've seen JT the Brick. Looking forward to seeing him on Saturday because it's been a little while since I've seen many of you guys.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well, and I appreciate the preview here, and let's talk during the season. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir.
There he is, Craig Grealoux. I feel bad now. Griffin, I don't know if Judge Dan Jacobs is correct. Remember when he came on, he said we were big bullies back in the day at our old radio company. There may have been some bullying going on with Mr. Grealoux and the other dude I mentioned, Zaidman. But they fought back. They fought back. Coming up, we're going to hook up in about 10 minutes, 10:15 approximately, with Xavier Pope out of Chicago.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're just going through those numbers with Craig Grillo, who covers Arizona. Cardinals are up next for the Raiders in the preseason. Cardinals win total 8.5 over minus 130. Actually, I wouldn't play it. I'd probably lean under with the plus, but I do think they're going to have a good season. I do think they can win the division. So rather than play the win total, I would try to find something. Well, I would shop these division odds because they're plus 425. Again, Niners favorite. I don't like that at all. I think the Niners are going to be 7-8-9 win team this year. I think the Rams can be better. I think the Rams should be the favorite. I think part of this plus 175 number is the Rams being downgraded a bit because of the health situation, some of the doubt around Matt Stafford. Seattle's intriguing too, but I don't like that number of plus 575. So Zona's going to be in the mix. I think all those teams will probably, who will be the bottom feeder, maybe the worst team will have 7 wins and the best possibly 10. I just don't. Rams, I think, could win 11. I don't believe in the Niners. I think the Niners are a couple injuries away from another total disaster. And while their receivers look good against the Raiders, like Ricky Pearsall, what does that mean? I think a lot of it is the Raiders in flux right now, trying to make adjustments in the defensive back end. They're trying to make the transition to some young guys, and they were pretty porous in this last game. That doesn't mean that the Niners' receiving core is fine. It's not right now because they're beat to hell. And unless I missed it today, you know, Juwan Jennings is still dinged up and looking for a new contract. And it's not the entire season, but Brendan Ayuk, at least at the beginning of the year, is not going to be available, likely out until week 5 or 6. So Niners have a lot of questions. Another team with a lot of questions, the Colts. But I actually think they have fewer than most people believe, because that kind of turned into a goof fest the other day with Anthony Richardson. It was announced he doesn't have the job. Then there's like mass panic, like he's never going to get the job. Time to write him off. Time to trade him. He's a flop. He has failed. Relax. Griffin, as you know, the quarterback position around the National Football League can be a very dangerous position in terms of injuries and durability. And Danny Dimes, while I do think he has, in the immediate, more upside than Anthony Richardson, I actually think under Shane Steichen that if they could keep Jones upright, I think Daniel Jones can be a top half of the league quarterback. He's had his moments. He was just injured a lot coming back from the ACL. He had really poor coaching at the beginning of his career. Playing in New York and trying to take that position over is incredibly pressure-packed. I think he's got a chance to be pretty decent in Colts land, and that doesn't mean that, you know, Anthony Richardson is dead or needs to be dealt away because he's got no shot with the Colts. I don't think their QB situation is that bad.
No, I don't think so either. I think that Danny Dimes is really similar to Anthony Richardson. Maybe physically he's not as physical of a runner, but he's still got that scrambling ability. And
I would actually argue he's a better, more effective runner because you don't have to worry about him. Well, his durability is not great either, but Richardson is to the point where you're like, dude, don't run. But he has to run. That's one of the main parts of his game. Keep going.
I was just saying, well, there was also so many points last season with Anthony Richardson with, you know, throughout his career with the Colts, tapping on the helmet, being too tired to stay in the game.
That was a mistake. Can you explain as a former football player what that does to a team when someone is – acting like, I guess I can't say it's a soccer game because once you go out, you ain't coming back in. But it's like, it's not, you know, looking to the bench in an NBA or college basketball game and going, you know what, I need to blow for a couple of minutes. Like, no. You can't just tap out in the middle of the game. You're the quarterback.
If you are playing at the collegiate level or the NFL level, the pros, if you are unable to stay on the field, in fact, not even unable, if you are not hungry to stay on that field for as long as you can, in fact, even longer, it's such a bad sign to the rest of your teammates because everybody on that field is putting so much work and is wanting to be in that moment. And to see a guy, especially your quarterback, kind of tire out and say, I need a breather, I need a puff, that's not great. That doesn't have that, what do you call it? The leadership kind of goes out the window because you're like, you don't even really want to be on the field with us. So why should we follow you? Why should we believe in you?
And then there was this take on Richardson, because, again, that was a blip. That was a mistake. But in terms of his career being over, there was this take. You know how bad you got to be 23 years old with that athleticism and the Colts are basically giving up on you? Of course, that was hot take, hot shot. Stephen A., who, listen, we love the bit, but there are times when he's talking football. Bro, it's a long game here, okay? And I can't guarantee the Colts, like, internally aren't like, screw this, we are done with them. I don't think they're done with them. But this is a game of now. And developing a quarterback sometimes when jobs are potentially on the line, like in the case of Shane Steichen, if I'm Shane Steichen, I want to play the best guy. And they brought in Daniel Jones for a reason in the offseason. They think they can coach him up. If he can stay healthy, they have a pretty good offensive line. Remember, and this is what happens at the beginning of the season, because people don't do their homework, and especially if you just drop in on the NFL and you know you're not working on it, and you also can't remember what happened last year. The Colts division is not great. With a horrific quarterback situation a year ago, they won 8 games. They were not terrible, and their quarterback play was substandard. Imagine if they get slightly above average quarterback play with some dangerous games here and there from Daniel Jones. They actually have a chance to win a division, and with that, they would make the playoffs. They have to play for now. This is not a two-win organization, and that's the problem before the season. There are, if you listen to the collection of people who come in with hot takes on the NFL, you would think there are 9 teams that are going to win less than 5 games. There are 9 teams that have no chance and should be tanking and need to play for the future. That ain't true at all. Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7, Pantera is playing the heaviest tour of the summer. It's the remaining members of Pantera going down a couple Fridays from now at T-Mobile Arena. AXS.com is where you can grab your tickets. Pantera at T-Mobile. 2 tickets right now. Caller 7, 364-1100.
Live from Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
This is the scariest part of the show every couple of months. We need a safety net. We have the double, I think it's a triple delay. We delay out to about a minute. The master of radio disaster, the minister of offending, the most dangerous man in sports talk radio, Mike Palm. You don't get intros like this on VSiN. We know you're a dangerous character.
Nobody can handle the truth.
I can. It's usually not about me. So if I'm here to stir the pot for you and set you up, let's go.
I understand.
Let's go. Well, first of all, we'll go back to our last spot. Mike Palm is with us. I actually did take the air check of you ripping ESPN for not having Stormy as the main NHL ringside reporter. They did not get back to me. So, but I think your message was sent. She needs to be more in the fold and at the top of the list for the hockey coverage.
She's the best at the world at being a ringside reporter. So I hope one day that gets recognized. Emily Kaplan's a great writer. You know, Leah Hextall's from a nice family.
Wow. Okay. All right. How are Circa Million and Circa Survivor trending?
The millions is going to be give or take 100 one way or the other right off the guarantee $6 million. Like, we've run this play now.
Wait,
for
100,
the third straight
$100?
Year. $100. Yeah, like,
get out of here.
It'll be 5,900 to 6,100. It's just plus or minus 1%.
I thought you meant the price pool. Either way. I was like, how do you know that, Mike? It's $6 million.
No, entries.
Okay.
So if you look this morning and extrapolate that we're 42% ahead in Survivor over year, it's right at 20 million. That's right.
No.
I told you we can do 20 million. I hope you don't screw it up with this grandissimo. And cannibalize our contest, but that's going well as too. So it really not, because most of the guys that do the Grandissimo also do 10 survivors. So,
of course,
but I'll make that argument just to try to attack Derek.
Can you explain? I'm doing promotion every day about this, and when I say no rake, explain that in that you're going for 20 million when you have 15 million guaranteed. Like, no one does that. Very few contests do that.
No, they don't. I mean, and when we came onto the block, you know, the super contest was the king of the world, right? But Jay Cornegay was raking those poor people back to the Stone Ages with his 8%.
We love the Westgate, by the way.
We love him. We love him. We love John Murray. John Murray, terrific. John Murray, he's terrific.
This is what I'm talking about.
I love John Murray.
The master of radio disaster, most dangerous man in sports talk radio. We all love John.
John is great. He's great. Really good on the air.
I love Jay.
That was a big mistake Mitch and Paul made with the whole Gil disaster with the Iga Swiatek ticket. They should have brought Murray on to explain the Westgate position instead of Jay. If Murray would have come on, it would have cleared more up. But that's neither here nor there. Anyhow.
No one remembers it.
Anyhow.
Just you bringing it up.
One hour before Jay came on, there was this girl, Erin Kate Dolan, that they had, I think it was a paid spot, came on. Now she's a big deal. But they had to explain the point spread to her when she came on. Anyhow, Steve, let's get back to the point of the no rake. The no rake. We had to do something to distinguish ourselves. And so Derek's idea, the quarters, great, right? You can get hot for a month. You can cash in this thing. You don't have to go 70% for the year. And then my idea was no rake, 100% payback.
That was your idea.
There was. And Derek said, that nobody does that. I said, exactly. I mean, but we have to make who are we? Circa wasn't even built yet. Right? We were just operating out of the Golden Gate. We were some,
upstart. A splash.
Yeah, we made a splash. And there were two people that predicted that by year two, we would have more than the Super Contest. And it was my two buddies at VEASAN, Vinny Maiulo and Amal Shah, who both said this no rake thing's a big deal, and people will gravitate to that. So, I mean, here we are today, where hopefully we'll do $6 million this year. We'll get to the guarantee. And, oh, by the way, there may be another $20 million in Survivor and another $3 million in Grandissimo.
Crazy. Circa Radio Row Ultimate Contest Weekend, we're going to tell you about the free seminar in a couple of minutes. I heard some breaking news. This might be behind the scenes. Maybe I'm not supposed to leak this. I think VEASAN is putting together a new Sunday lineup. I heard all the big bangers might be in on Sundays now.
6 days a week. It's almost like slave labor for I don't want to say the number. But anyhow, I think that's great. I think
it's awesome, too.
Keeps Paulie out of trouble.
I heard Paulie wanted to do it. I heard he committed for Mitch.
Well, Mitch has a family.
That's my point.
You got to understand.
That's the point.
You got to understand that.
Yeah, we'll do it. What do you mean we'll do it?
But it's not going to be follow the money. It's not going to be their show. It's going to be the Sunday morning show.
And the most important thing is the listeners in the end. That's why we're here.
Correct.
Don't worry about families.
Well,
I don't see my girlfriend during the season. She knows. I think she's happy.
March Madness is the toughest time. The wives don't understand why 4 straight days you're gone for 16 hours. Super Bowl, they get it. Women get it. They do. That's why Vinny married a girl from Kentucky. I mean, he told it to me. His wife, Lee, said she gets it. I don't have to listen every year for March Madness when I'm not home for a week.
Speaking of Kentucky, I don't even know how you're here. Yeah. What do you guys have, a private jet? Weren't you just across the country?
It's not his. It's this timeshare type, NetJets, whatever it is. Okay. You know, he pays a timeshare.
I've heard of that.
Flew into Nashville Tuesday night, drove up to Kentucky Wednesday morning, then flew back. He was coming from Detroit, Derek, so we were on Southwest. We were clicking the button at 11, 24 hours so we could get our seat choice. But then flew back. It was in and out. It was a great turnout for the grand opening of our book at the Mint in Franklin, Kentucky. The mayor was there. The county judge, the Chamber of Commerce, four members of the Kentucky Horse Racing and Gaming Commission, and a lot of local media, Nashville media, a lot of Kentucky media, Bowling Green and all that. So it was a great turnout. We did an event there Saturday night, this past Saturday with the UFC, with the pay-per-view, and the book was completely full, and they drank the whole casino out of beer. They had no beer left.
Which is good for you guys, especially on Saturday and Sunday. You must love being in places like Kentucky. I'm not saying anything about the bettors there, but I'm saying something about the bettors there. Maybe not as nuanced as here.
Possibly.
Okay.
It's possibly, but maybe they're more nuanced in college football. Who knows?
They could be. We're not that smart. We think we're super smart here.
What they told me is the two big things where they live there in that area is how big is your truck and how big is your lawnmower. That's how you're judged. So you might be right.
Okay. You might be right.
Do
we know anything about the Circa Invitational? Is this field all complete? It is. I love contests like this because I think if you make picks and you sell picks, do it publicly. Go in a contest. We get to track you.
Can anybody come close to Chuck Edel, who, by the way, will be on my panel? He complete route last year. I mean,
guess who was close for a while and then got run off at the end?
Well,
our lady, Alex White.
Alex White finished second.
I know.
She's
part of Cofield and Company. I say it all the time. I'm like one of the top female handicappers in the world because she's tracked. Because she goes in contests. She wins contests.
I've told you when I come here and Adam's here, I was told it was Alex White. I get disappointed when Alex isn't here. That's really the reason I come.
I know. Today's solo. Sorry.
I'm disappointed. Cofield last minute. I go, Aaron, you owe me.
You walked over. You're like, that's him? what is this? I heard a hot rumor that they were considering telling Brett McMurphy you can't be in this year. Not good enough.
I'd like to know the source. I'd really like to know the source.
I'm pulling a Mike Palm. But Brett, making stuff up.
He's a nice man. He does a lot of promotional for us. I enjoy listening to him. He's a credible source on college football.
He is. I just don't like when he uses other sources like Adam Hill and picks from him here and there.
Well,
we protect Adam.
Well, I don't know the whole backstory. I don't know.
You're the one who threw gas on the fire last year.
Never.
You do this so much. Master of radio disaster. He takes so many shots.
What about that guy, Ben Fox, who went to the quote tweeting school of journalism? I mean,
he's
well, follow this guy.
Small world.
Change two words.
Ben is booked tomorrow.
Yeah.
Man, he's actually on my show tomorrow, so I'll bring it up. I'll say Mike Palm.
Is Mike Palm? Mike Palm. Oh, God.
Okay, Ultimate Contest Weekend. I mean, we're here. Right, we got Radio Row the next couple of days. You have a seminar. These seminars are cool. And you got the grand champion, Chuck Edel.
Yep.
You're the moderator.
I am.
So what goes on with the Ultimate Contest?
We got Sam Munson's on it. He's terrific. Great analytical.
He's
an Irish
Munson?
Football player.
Is it Munson?
Irish football player.
It's not like Dan Munson, the coach.
No. Irish football player. So we have two former football players. Mike Pritchard, I understand, also played football at Rancho right here.
You understand.
One of phony national championship with that clipping call against Notre Dame.
What are national championships, phony or not? Auburn's got seven.
I got him on. I couldn't find, so I got Pritchard on. I wish he was a nicer guy. But anyhow,
oh my God.
Mitch Moss says he's the greatest human being he's ever met.
He's very solid, especially for a former pro athlete. You'd never know.
He's an incredibly nice man. Yes. You know the most fun I ever had at VSiN when I did the three-man show with him and Femi on Friday mornings a couple of years ago? That was two hours of fun.
I'm a big Femi guy. Do we want to go on a pedestal
How
on
did
this
we
one?
Not, why did we not resign
I don't,
Femi?
I'm not, but you're right. I agree with you.
Mistake. Now he's doing great things.
I saw him the other day.
Yeah,
I gave him a slice of
terrific.
Pizza. Yeah,
he's terrific.
We had a big shindig the other day. All right, so seminar's coming up. I got like a minute left. You like Bet Bash, right? It's good for you guys. It was pretty proud
of your
list. I like
the seminars. I like the seminar. I think they're very educated. I get to host the Hall of Fame thing. I have a lot of fun with that. I do like Bet Bash.
Yeah, I think it's a really good event. Hope it gets bigger and bigger.
It does every year. Spanky does a great job with it. And they're going to keep getting more and more sponsors. And it's terrific.
All right, last 30 seconds. September 6th is the deadline.
Yeah,
but I beg people, come on.
Get here by Wednesday. It gets very tight trying to get in here. There's a limited number of proxy reservations, and then we just don't have the capacity to just have, we did 1,200 people one day. I don't know how much more we can push that. So I tell people if you want to get in, get here by Wednesday so you don't have a problem.
Circa Million and Circa Survivor, guaranteed $21 million, but it sounds like it's going to be more like a guaranteed $25 or $26 million.
20
Incredible.
And 6, and yeah, 29. I think we can get to 29.
I'm going in Circa Million, and I feel like I could hit maybe 53% in a real good season, so I don't think I have a shot of winning any money, but that's all I asked for.
You're going to get 5 months of entertainment. You're going to spend more on coffee in 5 months, people, than $1,000.
Spend more on drinks watching the games on Sundays. It breaks my bank. Mike, I appreciate it.
Steve, thank you.
There he is, Mike Palm here at Circa. We come back 4 o'clock hour on the way.